Blog Talk Radio.
A well-known congressman resigning today, Jesse Jackson Jr. After months of federal investigations, medical treatments, and then a win on Election Day, today an unexpected turn. Here's ABC's Sharon Alfonsi tonight.
Once a political rising star, Jesse Jackson Jr. today called it quits, sending in a letter of resignation to House Speaker John Boehner. He wrote, "Over the past several months, as my health has deteriorated, my ability to serve the constituents of my district has continued to diminish." The drama around Jackson began this summer when the congressman disappeared for weeks. The public, even members of his staff, didn't know where he was. Finally, in late July, the Mayo Clinic revealed Jackson was being treated there for what was later diagnosed as bipolar disorder and depression. His famous father, uncharacteristically quiet about the matter.
The fact is, the congressman is under medical supervision and is right now regaining his strength.
Jackson was released in September, then readmitted last month. His return to the clinic came amid reports that the congressman faced a federal investigation into potential misuse of campaign funds, including allegations that Jackson used thousands of dollars to redecorate his Washington, D.C. townhome and that he used $40,000 to buy a Rolex watch for a female friend. Even so, Jackson was easily reelected to the House just a few weeks ago, even though he was in the Mayo Clinic, even though he never campaigned for the job. In his resignation letter, Jackson added that, "Against the recommendations of my doctors, he'd hoped to return to Washington, but I now know it will not be possible."
Jackson said he is working with federal investigators and, quote, accepts responsibilities for his mistakes, but it's unclear whether his resignation was part of a reported plea deal with prosecutors. A special election will now be held to fill his seat.
A lot of people pulling for a better road ahead for him. Sharon, thanks. Happy Thanksgiving.
Reverend Jesse Jackson says he's very sorry for remarks he made about Senator Barack Obama. Jackson made the comments after an interview with Fox News, and he says he simply didn't realize his microphone was on at the time. A videotaped portion of his remarks shows Jackson telling another guest that Barack Obama was, quote, talking down to black people. Speaking to CNN's Don Lemon on the Situation Room, Reverend Jackson said his comments were taken out of context.
Broader conversation about urban policy and racial disparities, and I feel very distressed because I'm so supportive of this campaign and what the center has done and is doing. I was in a conversation with a fellow guest at Fox on Sunday. And he asked about Barack's speeches lately at the black churches. I said it can come off as speaking down to black people. The moral message must be a much broader message. Oh, what we need really is racial justice and urban policy and jobs and health care. There's a range of issues on the menu. And frankly, I think that is his basic urban policy position. No one else has put one together except him in this situation. And then I said something I felt regretfully crude, but it was very private and very much a soundbite in a live mic. And so I find no comfort in it, find no joy in it.
Topping our political ticker right now, this is just coming into the Situation Room, a dramatic statement from Congressman Jesse Jackson Jr. repudiating his father's crude remarks about Senator Barack Obama, remarks caught on an open microphone. In his statement, Congressman Jackson says, "I'm deeply outraged and disappointed in Reverend Jackson's reckless statements about Senator Barack Obama, his divisive and demeaning comments about the presumptive Democratic nominee, and I believe the next president of the United States, contradict his inspiring and courageous career." He then goes on to say this, "Reverend Jackson is my dad and I'll always love him. He should know how hard that I've worked for the last year and a half as a national co-chair of Barack Obama's presidential campaign. So I thoroughly reject and repudiate his ugly rhetoric. He should keep hope alive in any personal attacks and insults to himself." An extraordinary statement coming in right now from Congressman Jesse Jackson Jr. And now Also just coming into the Situation Room, for the first time we have a formal statement from the Obama campaign reacting to Reverend Jackson's comments. I'll read it to you. As someone who grew up without a father in the home, Senator Obama has spoken and written for many years about the issue of parental responsibility, including the importance of fathers participating in their children's lives. He also discusses our responsibility as a society to provide jobs, justice, and opportunity for all. He will continue to speak out about our responsibilities to ourselves and each other, and he, of course, accepts Sir Reverend Jackson's apology. That statement coming in from the Obama campaign spokesman, Bill Burton, also.
We are here this afternoon to discuss an unfortunate situation that we've seen far too often across the political landscape. Today, Jesse Jackson Jr. Pled guilty and accepted responsibility to participating in a 7-year conspiracy to defraud his political supporters of their campaign contributions to the tune of nearly $750,000. Today, Jesse Jackson Jr. pled guilty and confessed to a variety of schemes, some of them simple, some of them sophisticated. But all of them had the same common purpose. All of them were designed to further finance his exorbitant lifestyle. The guilty plea today is so tragic because it represents such wasted potential. Jesse Jackson Jr. had the drive, the ability, and the talent to be the voice of a new generation. But he squandered that talent. He exchanged that instead to satisfy his personal whims and his extravagant lifestyle. He did acknowledge responsibility today, and for that he deserves credit. He did not seek to evade responsibility during this process. He did not make excuses. He came in early, he told the truth, and he saved the taxpayers the cost of a trial. But today is his day of reckoning. Jesse Jackson Jr. will face up to 5 years in prison. He will have a guideline range of 46 to 57 months. He will have to pay back the $750,000 that he stole, starting with forfeiting the furs and the guitars and the other celebrity memorabilia that he purchased. Today is his first step toward redemption. Today we also had Jesse Jackson Jr.'s wife, Sandy Jackson, former Chicago alderman, plead guilty as well. She pled guilty to filing false returns. As part of her plea, she acknowledged failing to report $600,000 in income from the years 2005 to 2011. She acknowledged using money from her alderman campaign account as well as another political organization that she controlled for her own personal benefit. She acknowledged receiving other sources of income through her company that were not reported. And she acknowledged spending money from her husband's campaign account on personal items. Sandy Jackson faces up to 3 years in prison. She has a guideline range of 18 to 24 months and will have to pay up to $168,000 in restitution. I want to now walk through the conduct that the individuals pled guilty to today. And if you look first on the right to the exhibit, you'll see there's a diagram, and it explains this scheme. For 7 years, Jesse Jackson Jr. and his wife undertook a variety of different methods to funnel money out of his reelection campaign. Most directly, the Jacksons used their campaign credit cards to run up over $580,000 in personal expenses. They bought everything from flat-screen TVs to fur coats to a fedora worn by Michael Jackson. They went to Disney World. They ate at four-star restaurants. And
you know all the work I did was for the other man. Now we the man's a chance to do things for ourselves. We're tired of beating our head against the wall and working with someone else. Say it now. Oh!
Jesse.
You're looking at the most hated man in U.S. politics. A man who stole almost $1 million from his campaign and blew it on, well, really cool stuff.
Say it loud. Good morning, y'all. Good loud. Say it loud. I'm black and I'm proud. I think we got to redo that, y'all. Y'all need to go down to the museum and see this whole exhibit on the ebony fashion. Then you get a chance to see. Say it loud. I'm black and I'm proud. I am black and I'm proud. Ooh, we got to say it even more now because our children is losing the sense of being black and proud. They think they got to be into everything, Justin Bieber's and all them folks, in order to be proud. Something is wrong here. Don't have a guest this week. Don't have one next week for y'all, but I want to be open with y'all because we got to do something here. Something is going on here. I don't know what the hell it is, but something is going on. Can you feel like you're floating backwards? Do you feel a level of reconstruction? If you have not read Reconstruction, you need to read Reconstruction. When the government reconstructed government and just wiped black folks out of things, the government is reconstructing everything right before our eyes. And we are dealing with all this minutia going on, and we are dealing with it. And right before our eyes, we are being wiped out. I know yesterday some of y'all went for the training for Safe Passage. Whoop-poo! I wonder if Harriet Tubman and So Jonah Truth have any training for Safe Passage. Or I wonder that the people in Mississippi who had to put their people in trucks at night in cars and send them away, did they have any training? Something don't feel right, y'all. I wish y'all get out and ride around the city. You need to ride around and see what's going on here. You can't sit up in your house on your block or go one place and come back to your own destination and then be calling this show trying to come up with something or calling any of the shows here or just got an opinion without really looking at what's really going on with us in this city. And if you're in other parts of the country, walk around your cities and look at what's going on in your cities. There's a massive undertaking. I don't even want to use the word gentrification because that's the white folks' word. As Paul Mooney said when he was here, white folks got a different language, they say, and we think we understand it, and we don't understand the language. There's a massive move on us, and we don't even know it. You thought when they closed down public housing in Chicago, that's Robert Taylor, Cabrini Green, and all on the north, on the west side, you know, Henry Horner, all of those places, you thought, it was just that. In New York, they closed down public housing. New Jersey, they closed down public housing. Alabama, Mississippi, Florida, Carolina, Atlanta, wherever you are, they closed down public housing, and you thought it was them people. And what's so interesting about them people, most of you came out of them people. Most of the folks who was the hardest people that was on public housing, folks who grew up in public housing. Rather than going there trying to reorganize and reclaim it, they said tear it down. Whereas if your parents had not had that bridge, you might not be who you are today, the doctor, the lawyer, the engineer, just the regular worker. I had a young man who worked with me when I was in office. He's one of my leaders. And he know who he is if he's listening. His mama had about 10 children. And they all grew up in the development. Because I don't call them project. A project was just something of where somebody, they got no life. A development where people live. And because his father and mother was able to live there, they were able to all go on and be successful. Tom started working for the city, driving buses, others did this. Others did that, others got degrees, all different things. Some of the hardest ones on public housing, I remember having a discussion with them when I was fighting to save public housing, And they came to me and said, oh, why you want to save them? Them people just need to go. They don't deserve it. And I had a little talk with him, and I said, he listened, he know who he is. I said, did you grow up in public life? Yeah. I said, what you think would have happened to you if your mother and father had not had it? Oh, they different. What's different about these people than was you? You have to tell me the difference. Because there's no difference. Because once they get those people, they're going to come after you. The only thing that was different with public housing, when he was there, and when these other people was there, was they had standards and they had regular maintenance. Across the country, the government decided to have deferred maintenance on all these buildings, let all these buildings go under, not fix nothing, let it tear up, and to drop the standards in terms of structure, saying that if your children is caught this, you're gone. If this is done, that's done, you're gone. They dropped it and just let everybody came in. You get an apartment, you get an apartment, you do this. No standards. And that was like a long-range planning. And then we want to blame the victims who they're allowed to do that to. And they started letting everybody go everywhere. Then they started tearing down public housing because of the black community. Keep in mind, there's nothing that's done to our community without the consent of black leadership. What are you talking about, Dorothy Tillman? If black leadership don't endorse a plan, it won't happen. Because they have to have cover. They got to have a sandwich. You got to have this. You got to have this vanilla bread, a white bread, squeezed in between this wheat bread. You got to have that. I remember Whitney Young and all of them told Dr. King, stay out of Vietnam. When all them black leaders got together and denounced Dr. King, that gave the government the right to go in and kill him. If black leadership had not went against Dr. King, government wouldn't have thought they could kill him. You had your quote-unquote so-called nationalist community. Now, keep in mind that in the Civil Rights Movement, that we had worked with everybody, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, CORE, all of us. We worked for one thing only, and that was for the liberation of black people. Then you had this new group of people cropped up. Oh, he don't know what he's talking about. We want this. Burn this, that. Well, he didn't know what he was talking about because we came here, we worked with the gang members. That's why they put Jeff Ford in jail. So you wouldn't have no structure. They started tearing down structure. You remember Mickey Cowell and all them folks, all the folks who had structure when Mickey was over there on the west side, on the southwest side around Wells Prison and shit, what'd he do? Told all them brothers, you got to have standards and you can't do this. And he told AT&T, you got to put these brothers to work. You had Jeff Fordham doing something. And I'm not condoning anything that be any violence, but I'm saying you had structure where we were able to pull them in a room. And I said, look, Jeff, you ain't going to be doing this stuff on Dr. King's watch. This is out of order, and this is what you got to do. I know because I work with girl gangs on behalf of Dr. King. And this is what y'all going to do. And we was able to pull them together in a room and have, you know, just pull them all together. And said, we can't have this. This is insane. The vice was Jimmy Wilson, Wakati Eel, who y'all call him, from the west side. He died. But Jimmy Wilson was some of them gangbangers from the west side who came down to Selma and came on our staff. And we got up here. He worked with the west side gang. We did a lot of stuff. But we were able to pull them in a room and talk about the liberation of black people. So the man, that's my little son, Bibbidi, who substituted the evidence today. The man or the government or the powers to be had to tear that structure up, and they had to take the black community to help tear it up. And I don't never believe in no killing and hurting each other. But because they tore the structure, you got willy-nilly all over the place while they're taking our land. I know you don't understand this. You might think it's a little disjointed, but I'm going to bring it all back home to you in a few minutes. And that's wherever you are in the country. So they tore up that structure. So you right now don't have, Gator be walking around. We going to come together. Gator, you know if you're listening, you ain't got no power to pull these brothers in no room because they're all fractured. Yeah, you might represent Hoover and all of them, but there's no structure. Yeah, you can have hustlers walking around. Give me this money. We can do this. You can't do nothing because the man went and tore the structure up, put Jeff Ford in jail forever, and y'all thought that was good, and took all our brothers from all over this city, west side, whatever they in. I don't care where they at. I ain't trying to take no sides, whatever the gangs were. I'm just saying that structure. Everything got to have structure. You got to have structure in your house. You got to have structure in anything that you do. If you don't have no structure, it will crumble. So they begin to move in tech structure way. So now you got our community, like Dr. Anderson say, like everything go in and out. There ain't nothing stable. Anybody can come in. All these foreign folks is running our community with their drugs. These folks is scared of these Hispanics get the beat because they provide the drugs. You see them riding around in the cars in our community. So if they want to stop anything, they can stop it at the border, stop all these folks who bring it in. They went after Jeff and all of them, but there's no structure. So then when you get all these folks who then come in, Dr. King dealing with all these brothers and trying to lay things out and begin to get things together, then you have a group hollering at Dr. King, talking about, stay out of Vietnam, Martin this and Martin that. Since we get ready to celebrate this so-called anniversary, we're going to celebrate. It ain't nothing to celebrate. We need to be in Washington demanding, not celebrating. It ain't nothing to celebrate with the condition black folks are in right now. Then so you have all that, then you have them. Then you have these so-called militants hollering, old Dr. King is irrelevant. He got to go. You got them on one hand, and then you got the moderates on the other hand talking about Dr. King, kicking him in his butt, and then they decide to reduce him to a dream. So you can hear him talk about reparations. So you can hear him talk about economics. You can hear all the stuff he's talking about. These children should be demanded they study all of Dr. King. So then they murdered Dr. King. He wasn't killed. You can be killed any kind of way. Dr. King was murdered by the government and those Negroes and whites who conspired with them. They murdered Dr. King. So you got all these folks talking this stuff. So then, hey, everybody talking about Stokely. I knew Stokely very well. I met him in Selma when he was Stokely Carmichael. Me, Stokely and I was very good friends. He came up with this song. We was in Selma. I had a dream. I had a dream. My name was ML King. He used to tell me, Dorothy, I'm going to be as popular as Dr. King. I think he was from Haiti in one of the islands. I don't remember what one of them islands that Stokely was from. And I remember when he met Mary McKeever, his wife that he eventually married. But when Dr. King was murdered, all these folks took cover and started philosophizing, all of them. I know y'all will get mad at me. Stokely went to South Africa with Mary McKeever and other folks from other places. Yeah, he kept talking nationalism and writing. But at this point, our stuff is structured was just deteriorated. I remember Samson said something, okay, Dr. King is dead. Now you sucker, y'all talking about black power. Go get it. The most strongest people was the Panthers, who was giving breakfast programs and getting the churches to do something. And they came after Mark and Fred. And black folks sit by. They murdered them. They sit by on that west side and watch all them trucks come in. And that's why I watch trucks and pretend they're making these folks setting it up and all that stuff. And they murdered them. What are you talking about, Dorothy Tillman? I'm just trying to show y'all a structure here. What's going on with our people while we ride? I mean, I really sometimes get really disgusted because we ain't got time for no extra mess. When this black community is under attack, we getting ready to get totally wiped out. We already getting wiped out, but we getting reorganized. I was talking to one of our activists last night, and I'll leave him nameless. He called me last night. I was trying to go to sleep about some stuff. And I asked him, how in the hell is any black organization taking this darn safe passage money? It's almost like somebody buying them to be some kind of for them to be the new precinct captain to keep folks quiet and stuff. If you ride across the city, you only see safe passage in the black community. It looks so bad, them yelling black signs. These other schools, these little white kids are going to Target, getting their clothes, putting their clothes on, being children. And they're going to make some mistakes and get messed up, and the police pick them up and turn around, take them around the corner and let them out. Our children walking around like they're in jail. Safe passage. Oh, my God. You know, what's the psychological effect of our children right now? They're always talking about psychological. Anytime this man just got through killing up his baby and wife and killing himself, or it's a psychological problem. They kill up each other more than we do. You don't see it on the front page. They don't put it in your face every 5 minutes, every second on our 10 a day, three. Hey, add up all this other stuff, too. Let's have an equal opportunity of reporting crime. And then you get so disgusted, you think it's all over. And I don't condone no killing and this murdering. And you parents who got these children, and you know you're dealing with some folks, some bangers, or you're dealing with some folks who doing drugs or some folks who is at high risk, don't let your children ride with them. Keep them home, mamas. You fathers who know you're high risk, don't take your children. Don't take them when you know you're high risk because you're endangering your children. And the innocent, and you got folks all scared to walk. So they got to come through safe passage. I mean, do you understand the psychological thing this is putting through our children? Instead of skipping to school, jumping rope and laugh and happy about the first day of school, they got to be worried about dodging bullets and got to be worrying about grass. This is some psychological stuff they put on this next generation to keep us under. That's all I know. I've been on this thing. I got to get off. But that's what I'm talking about. That's what's going on. So we got all this minutiae going on, people talking about nothing while they're taking our community. Three whole communities in Chicago get ready to get wiped out. Inglewood, Wells Prison and Shields from 40, from Roots all the way down to 60-something, they are mending the TIF that we put in place to help rebuild that community with housing and businesses. And they are mending that TIF to give to the railroad, the folks who had something to do with slavery in the first place. The 47 and Halsted TIF that I put in place for manufacturing for black people and not being amended to give to the railroad. You got the Inglewood out there with Cochran and Padham over there. They're getting ready. They're doing that. They're giving up that community. That's three. And then you got the Pullman community. They take it, and they're going to wipe you out. And South Shore, while you're sitting over there thinking you're safe, they taking the lake. So where are they putting us? We're talking about minutia. Our state closing schools on purpose because they need the, you know, they need the land. It's a land question. God ain't making them on land. Black folks aren't on the land. You people down in Prairie Shows, if you're listening, because I know they got a block from the radio, so maybe on your computer. When you're down there, you can't get the radio station. You go down to Prairie Shows and Lake Meadow, you don't see us. You see other folks going up in there. So we're just being wiped out. I wanted to say all that to say that we're dealing in minutia. They're getting ready to wipe us out. In fact, they're wiping us out. The middle-class black community have dwindled because they've lost all their city, state, and federal jobs. So we have less money with the middle-class black community. So we're all one. So we're going to be talking about that today. And I know some of y'all are going to want to talk about Junior. I can't stop you, but I really feel sorry for Jackie and Jesse because I know both of them. I have nothing to say about Junior nor Sandy. You know, I have not on this program talked about him. You know, I have not. Folks have called and said, Dorothy, how you feel about what he did to you? God gave him. I said, no, I'm not in that. Whatever he did when I was in office, him and God got to deal with that. Whatever he did for the liberation of black folks in this city, all the stuff, you know, he got to deal with that. Whoever he got on his tape that he wore for them 2 years, he got to deal with that. So don't do me no good to talk about him. My heart goes out to Jackie and to Jesse. As a mother, I saw the mother, I saw Junior and Sandy walk in court together hand in hand. After the sentence, I saw them come out separate, but I saw Jackie there with her baby, with her hand on her baby. So, you know, that's the most I can say about that mess. I know it's the weekend just before Junior got sentenced, and a lot of y'all won't talk about it. But I can spend time talking about Junior, or I can spend time talking about what these folks are doing to us. I mean, he have to deal with whatever it is. He got to deal with it every day as he's thinking and why he's in jail for what he did, even to his father, throwing him under the bus. So that's between him and God, and my prayers go out to Jackie and to Jesse. You listen to Talk of Chicago, 1690 WVON. Our number is 773-591-1690. This is Dorothy Wright Tillman, Coffee Tea, in a conversation with me every Saturday morning from 6 to 8 a.m. on VON. We are streaming live, www.wvon.com. We on Blog Talk. We're also on iHeartRadio. And I don't know whether we're on Twitter or whether we're on Black Planet today because Ebony's away. But we do have Bimaji and Courtney over there. I got a young man and a young woman that are holding it down for me. So get your coffee. Would you get your tea? I'm not going to be gone long. Get your coffee. Get your tea. Come on back and talk to me. All of you on hold. Hold on, y'all. We're going to talk today. I'll be right back.
The Talk of Chicago, 1690 WVON.
Chicago, summer ain't over until after the community.
Hello and welcome to Common Sense TV. I'm your host, the Doctor of Common Sense and the Junkyard Dog. They have indicted Jesse Jackson Jr. and his wife, and it is a tragic day in America. I mean tragic. This is a tragedy. Now, I don't understand why Jesse Jr. has to go to jail, because it's not his fault that the money was calling his name. I mean, the boy went to sleep, and when he went to sleep, the money woke him up and said, Jesse, rise and spend me. It wasn't his fault. I mean, if you ask his daddy, he'll tell you it wasn't Jesse's fault. Jesse Jackson Sr., could you explain to the folks what really happened? Well, it's not Jesse's fault. Let me tell you, it's the white man making Jesse take the money. They put the money in front of Jesse. Jesse had to take the money. The money called his name at night. The money called his name when he traveled. The money made his mistress need that watch and other things. It's not Jesse's fault. I think we should sue the white man for making Jesse take the money. That's what we should do. Can't I get an amen? I'm sick of the oppression and suppression and rejection and subjection of the black man. Jesse is innocent. I'm telling you, the white man is to blame for putting the money in Jesse's hand. They knew he was bipolar. If he is bipolar, he very well can't be blamed for this. It's not his fault. White man need to stop oppressing the colored. We're still at the back of the bus. Jesse Jr. needs to get off because the white man put the money in front of him. Thank you, Jesse Jackson Sr. See, that's the mentality of the liberal mindset, especially Jesse Jackson. See, personally, I think it's the money's fault. Because Jesse Jackson Jr., the money should have known that he was going to steal it. You know, just like the gun caused people to shoot innocent people, we ban guns, we should ban money. That's the problem. If we had banned money, Jesse Jackson Jr. would never be in trouble if we just banned the money. No more money in America, damn it. Let's get money control. We start banning the money, we don't have to worry about the black man being oppressed by these white folks trying to force them to steal money. Now, let's ban money. I'm on a crusade. I'm going to get all the Hollywood actors and actresses to go on a crusade and make videos about how money is bad. We should ban it because it's causing people of color to steal the money. Now, we know they're not the only one. As a matter of fact, it's some white people that just stole some money, too. So I think on that note, Jesse Jackson Jr. shouldn't have to go to jail because some white people got off, too. This is the logic I want to use to defend my client, Jesse Jackson Jr. His wife put a lot of pressure on him to keep up with the Joneses. And in order to keep up with the Joneses, he had to steal the money. How you think he's going to get his house redecorated if he don't steal the money? Now, you people are being unreasonable. As a matter of fact, he should get a bonus because he only sold $750,000. Now, that technically makes him a rich guy because Barack Obama said anybody making $250,000 or more was rich. So we're not going to get him on tax evasion and stealing the money. We're going to get him for being too damn rich. You need to be taxed, son, because you were stealing too much money and made yourself rich. And you know we are at war with the rich. Now, why aren't the media not saying anything about this rich, spoiled brat who was born with a silver spoon in his mouth? You know Jesse Jr. would not have been elected if it wasn't for his daddy. Now, come on now. This is nepotism. Now, Jesse was born with a silver spoon in his mouth. He's a rich, spoiled kid. Why don't the media say this? He stole the money because he's spoiled and rich. His daddy had been ripping off. You know, his dad is a professional pimp. And he's been pimping, getting money for years. And then he, matter of fact, why did Jesse Jackson Sr. ever go to jail for any? I know that boy's got to have been done something to be stealing or something. It ain't fair for Jesse Jr. to go to jail and Jesse Sr. gets to stay out. As a matter of fact, let's make Jesse Sr. the sacrificial lamb for Jesse Jr. Come on, Jesse. You need to at least go to jail for your son. Take the sins of your son upon you, my brother. Jesse Jackson Sr., would you be the sacrificial lamb for you?
Well, you know, I would be the sacrificial lamb, but it's not Jesse Jr.'s fault. It's the white man's fault, so therefore I can't be the sacrificial lamb. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to let you suppress, oppress, depress, or depress me. Not going to happen. You may as well get another sacrificial lamb. How about let's get a white man to be the sacrificial lamb for Jesse Jr.? That sounds like a winner to me. Can I get a amen? That's what I think the problem is. The white man made Jesse steal the money. Now let him off. Matter of fact, give him a couple of $1 million.
I'm back. I know the board is lit up, and I told y'all this stuff we talking about this morning, how we getting wiped out, and we sitting here high in the world. I heard the show just before me. I had to go look at this video. It's a disgrace what Russell Simmons would do to Harriet Tubman, the Underground Railroad, having sex with this white man and talking this other stuff and just really degrading our history. And it's ironic he would put something out like that, doing this so-called safe passage. How could he? Remember now, Russell Simmons, when we was doing, reparation, got the reparation gym shoes. So he can make money off that now. Put all our kids in these hip-hop stuff, and I saw one day saying he would never allow his children to dress like that. And then they go get other kind of women, not looking like you. To do that film was a disgrace to our shero. It's a disgrace. He needs to be ran out of town. Russell, you wrong. You out of order. Y'all, that video is terrible. I just got through looking at it. I had not seen it. He's got this black man in the closet supposed to be recording him, her having sex with the white man to get the people free. And they was talking all that stuff, showing the sex acts and talking a bunch of stuff. It's on his video. It's the worst stuff in the world. Listen, you know, so it's just terrible. We're back, y'all, on Talk of Chicago, 69-WVON-773-591-1690. Streaming live, www.wvon.com. We also on iHeartRadio. So if you want to get on and log on, you can. We also on Blog Talk Radio if you want to go on Blog Talk. We're talking about what's happening with black communities. In Chicago, a whole three communities getting ready to get, four really, would, when you look at South Shore, getting ready to get wiped out. And in your city, you're getting ready to get wiped out. When you look at all around, that is really a plan. And we're sitting by our leadership. Now, let me tell you one thing before I go to the phone. Yeah, you can blame all these folks, Ron Emanuel, all our government white folks that y'all going to vote for in a few minutes. But you got representatives sitting there that's supposed to be looking out for your interests. And then the masses get blamed because they're not doing anything. The masses sending people there to watch out for their interests. The political, economic, and education community is supposed to look out for the masses. And then when they need the masses to come in to call them. Do you think any other community would give away, displace that many people? No. When Robert Taylor and all them CHA was displaced, they gave a certain amount of vouchers away. You need to check and see. Louis Gutierrez in there getting a lot of vouchers for his people. And he don't make no apology for staying on the agenda of his people. There's no apologies for that. Uno. I was thinking last night, we get mad at Uno. Because the government gave him $98 million, plus some of our local officials gave them money to help build those schools. that was joining those wards. And they're building science academies, math academies. Now, remember, they're not-for-profit organizations. And we get mad at them. How can you get mad at UNO? They're looking out for their community. Our not-for-profit go get pennies. They're in the same position that UNO's in. We got some large ones like that. They haven't went nowhere to let us build some schools. They said, give me your little pennies so I can keep my executive salary, so I can keep this, so I can keep that. Not thinking about building communities. And that's how they keep us, not building communities. And folks are like, well, we put our money together, we can do this and that. We have a right to your tax dollars. We can do all of this. You had a TIF in all these communities, and the purpose of the TIF was to build these blighted communities where black businesses could have, our business could have thrived. So they have us talking all this other kind of stuff, and we're not dealing with what we should do. Let me go to this phone, because y'all been waiting a long time, and I'm going to see what y'all want, and we're going to talk about this, because y'all been on this phone a long time. I'm going to try to go in the order in which it was. Mama D.
Good morning.
Good morning.
You know, the black people's rollback is coming from the top. So I'm asking, is President Obama the blame for the rise in disrespect for black history? If so, do you think he deserves a shellacking? Because when he gave that response to the Black Newspaper Publishers Association that wanted to know why he wouldn't meet with us, he made it clear, this administration is not interested in those demographics. However, according to the U.S. Census, those demographics outvoted white people, even without diminishing numbers, in the year 2012.
And our numbers are really not diminished. They just tell you that. They were really shocked. When he won, that's when they realized how many black folks is in this country. Mama D, because a lot of folks don't have to be bothered with the census now. That's a whole other question, but the statement. But our diminished numbers, no, we did. And in all those states that he carried in terms of when he carried during the last election, those Ohio and all them states, blacks came out in extremely high numbers.
And we came out in extremely high numbers the first time, but he wasn't interested in those demographics. Mm-hmm. Now, that was in the newspaper. I think it was the Citizen News, or because he was saying, what was he thinking? Because he refused to meet with him. He refused to use words like black. He refused to use words like poverty or poor. He refused everything that we brought up. He's got to be the president for all the people, but all the people are not homosexuals, and he fought hard for them. All the people are not non-citizens, and he gave them reparations through development, relief, and education for non-citizen minors. And all people are not Hispanic women, but he got one on the Supreme Court, and not Marion Wright Eidemann. She's not on that Supreme Court. He made Hispanic women's history. So my question is: he the blame for the rise in disrespect for black history that's being seen right here in Chicago, when not one alderman, would a white, black, or the mayor would raise their voice and say anything about American history, the Emancipation Proclamation, 150 years, and black history, Emancipation March on Washington?
Mama D, I don't know whether he is the blame for what these folks are doing to us. I certainly think they think that while he's in office, they can move on us real fast because black folks don't want to do nothing to embarrass him. So I don't know whether to blame him for this. Let me ask you, now, have you seen that Russell Simmons video?
I haven't seen that.
I looked at it, Mama D. That's what I looked at that a few minutes ago.
Let's get on.
Listen.
There's closing communities like England.
Excuse me, Mama D. Shh. Okay. No, listen. You can't drive this conversation like that. You're always talking about history. But if you look at this video, what Russell Simmons did with Harriet Tubman, you would be so upset. The fact that he would do this. Russell Simmons did this video showing Harriet Tubman having sex with this white man, trying to bribe him for the Underground Railroad and how they were dealing. It's disgraceful, which means that it's young black children look at that video, that's the way they're going to see the Underground Railroad. You need to look on this. Look on this video and look at that so next week so you can call me. So what else
I got? Do you remember Bobby Shaw?
Yeah, but look at
and that. And that level of
disrespect to Rosa Parks. I want you to look at the video so you can intelligently talk to me about it.
I have to see it. It's already disgusting to me.
I want you to look at it because I know you give great perspective. Thanks, Mama D.
No problem.
Thank you. Who is this? Willow?
No, good morning, Alderman Tillman. This is Benjamin Williams from River Forest.
Okay, Benjamin. I don't know. Y'all, but you better help him out over there, Courtney, because I'm misreading this stuff. Courtney, help MG out over there with these names. Hey, Benjamin, how you doing? Because I can't.
Listen, I hope you and your family doing good. I got two comments to make, and I'm going to make them real quick. Number one, Ms. Tillman, everywhere I go, people say, Benjamin, one of the nicest things I ever heard on VON is when you complimented.
Oh, my children just love that. It made me a little soft of it, Benjamin.
Everywhere I go, I said, you guys just don't know how made you guys got it. You guys have a mama. I hope the Tillman children understand they got somebody special as a mother. You know, Ms. Tillman, I tell people this, you know, I never had a mother cook me a meal. You know, like how you cook your kids dinner.
Right.
Never a birthday cake, nothing. And I want people to appreciate the fact that you have a mother. Don't just wait for Mother's Day, people. Do something nice for your mother and father every day that you can do it.
You know, Benjamin,
I really respect
that's how I did my mama. I loved her every day. I understand what you mean. Thank you, Benjamin.
Mr. Chairman, I got one more thing, this education. Now, people got to explain this to me. I never lived in Chicago, so it's a little bit different for me. But I got friends that live in Portland, Oregon, Seattle, Washington. They say, Brother Benjamin, you mean to tell me in the city of Chicago that black people got to get security provided to them by y'all white mayor so that the black children can feel safe?
That's terrible. And That's awful.
Yes, ma'am.
Mm-hmm. I agree with you. It's awful. Thank you, Benjamin.
Said, why is that? And I said, well, there's one person who works for VON. I didn't like the explanation the way they said it, you know, when they classified some blacks as LCBs and things like that.
Most of the time, people who try to talk about other folks, they talk about themselves. That's why they can classify folks. You know, they be talking about themselves. So, I get sick of folks putting on black people.
Yeah, we shouldn't. The last thing we should feel unsafe is being around our own kind. I should feel safe if I go in Cape Town, if I go in Chatham or Brownsville,
right,
or Auburn Gresham or Morgan Park or Rosen. I should feel safe because there's black people over there.
Right.
We should feel safe around each other. Now, Ms. Tillman, is it true that a guy got killed this week right in front of one of those safe passage signs?
Well, they got killed out there on 22nd, and one of them got shot down there on 22nd and State Street. But, see, that's a whole other thing now. So folks going to get extra time. They got extra sensation. They're going to be writing about. But you don't know. Can you tell me one thing that happened, one violent act that happened in any other community besides the black community this weekend?
But that Spanish guy killed his wife and his
Yeah, but they got that real. They say he was sick and got it out real quick, didn't they?
Yes, ma'am. That's it. I got Ms. Tillman.
Thank you.
Have a good weekend, Ms. Tillman. Okay?
You too. Love you very much. Thank you. They're just keeping this in the face of people so that they can always be doing. Yes, Maurice from the West Side.
Good morning, Georgie Tillman. I got my issues with you, sister, but I love you.
I don't care. You want to start talking about putting your money together to do this? I heard you calling Matt that day. Remember, I sent your money back. I'm not saying folks should not put their money together.
Georgie, I'm the caller. Can I get my point across?
But I'm the host. Can you wait? Because I know you. I let you on every week, and I got new folks on the phone. I should have went to them first. So, but I got you.
May I proceed?
I'm going to put you on hold for a second. Put him on hold, Courtney. I'm going to go to the next call. Northside Charlie.
This is Charlie, and I'm from the north side.
Yes, Charlie.
And Ms. Tillman, I'm also white, so this may come as quite a shock. But the thing I want to talk about is the children and the school thing.
Mm-hmm.
And the safe passage.
Okay.
The minute I saw safe passage on the news, I thought to myself, this is crazy.
Mm-hmm.
The pictures that I saw had weeds growing along the safe passageway higher than a lot of those children that are going to walk that way.
Mm-hmm.
That kind of cover is the kind of cover that people use when they want to abuse somebody's child.
Sexual, do drugs and everything else. What's happening on Northside, Charlie?
What's happening on the north side?
Y'all have any crime over there?
Oh, hell yeah.
Tell me about some of that crime over there.
You're talking about somebody that's got a bullet in his back, and I got shot in Old Town.
Now, no, white folks ain't killing each other up over there, are they?
That never got in the paper.
Yeah.
There was a clamp on news. There is a clamp on news. And, in fact, last week was the first time, and I've lived up here 9 years, this was the first time that I saw north side crime being covered pretty extensively because the Gold Coast had somebody that was molesting women.
Mm-hmm.
And that did stay on for a couple of days. But mm-hmm. I can tell you time and time again of things that I have known about, directly known about, never saw a thing. There were three women found about 2 years ago in a dumpster behind the Cedar Hotel.
Now, these are white on white crime.
Huh? No, these were black women.
Okay, what about the white crime up there?
Well, who knows who killed them?
Right.
But they were all in the same dumpster behind the same place. That never hit the news.
Mm-hmm.
I found out about it from the streetwise guy.
Well, let me ask you this, Charlie, because I got to go north side. Do you have many white folks up there doing crime on the north side?
Sure, there are white folks doing crime on the north side.
But we don't read about it.
Well, neither do we.
Thank you, Noah. Call again and give me a report about what's going on up there, okay?
Well, I got one more thing I'd like to ask. One question. Has anybody in law enforcement checked for pedophiles living along this safe pathway?
I don't know, but that was one of the concerns I had and I raised, that not only them, but maybe some of the guys, you know. Thanks, Northside. I got to go because my engineer is telling me I got to go now. So,
well, Dorothy, you're doing a wonderful job. It's a pleasure to talk to you. I'm sorry you're not still in the city council, but
thanks.
Don't give up.
Thank you.
Okay?
Keep listening and keep reporting. I want to know what's going on in that white community. Thank you, Northside. That's what I mean. There is problems over there on the north side, and there's problems in the white community and every other community. You got white-on-white crime. 98% of them is not reported in other ever community, but ours is on the front page for a reason. But, you know, that's what we got to do, last poet say. You know, we got to do that. We're getting ready to take a break, and I'm going to go out with the last poet. I'm going to come back. You listen to Talk of Chicago, 1690 WVON 7735916 iHeartRadio, Blog Talk, www.wvon.com. Hey, y'all. You know, the revolution ain't gonna be televised. We can't sit our butt by and allow our folks.
You will not be able to plug in, turn on,
it ain't gonna be tweeted.
You will not be able to lose yourself on SCAD.
It ain't gonna be on the email.
Because the revolution will not be televised.
It ain't gonna be on your Facebook.
The revolution will not be televised.
But it's gonna happen, y'all.
The revolution will not be brought to you by
the rock and roll parts. We ain't gonna celebrate. We gonna demand and emulate.
The revolution will not show you.
Hey, y'all, I'll be right back. We going out with that.
Be right back. General Abrams and Mendel Rivers to eat hog maws confiscated from a Harlem sanctuary. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by the Schaefer Award Theater and will not star Natalie Woods and Steve McQueen or Bullwinkle and Julia. The revolution will not give your mouth sex appeal. The revolution will not get rid of the nubs. The revolution will not make you look 5 pounds thinner. The revolution will not be televised, brother. There will be no pictures of you and Willie Mae pushing that shopping cart down the block on the dead run or trying to slide that color TV into a stolen ambulance. NBC will not be able to predict the winner at 8:32 on reports from 29 districts. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of Whitney Young being run out of Harlem on a rail with a brand new process. There will be no slow motion or still life of Roy Wilkins strolling through Watts in a red, black, and green liberation jumpsuit that he had been saving for just the right occasion. Green Acres, Beverly Hillbillies, and Hooterville Junction will no longer be so goddamn relevant, and women will not care if Dick finally screwed Jane on Search for Tomorrow, because black people will be in the street looking for a brighter day. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no highlights on the 11 o'clock news and no pictures of Harry Arm Women Liberationists and Jackie Onassis blowing her nose. The theme song will not be written by Jim Webb or Francis Scott Keyes, nor sung by Glenn Campbell, Tom Jones, Johnny Cash, or Engelbert Humperdinck. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be right back after a message about a white tornado, white lightning, or white people. You will not have to worry about a dove in your bedroom, the tiger in your tank, or the giant in your toilet bowl. The revolution will not go better with coke. The revolution will not fight germs that may cause bad breath. The revolution will put you in the driver's seat. The revolution will not
the be... The Talk of Chicago is 1690 WVON, Sherwin, Chicago.
NBC News Radio, I'm Scott Walterman. A tense situation in Egypt may be coming
to
a head. Supporters
of former Congressman Jesse Jackson Jr. pleading guilty to lavish abuse of campaign money and offering a tearful apology to his famous father. Here's ABC Senior Justice Correspondent Pierre Thomas.
Today, Congressman Jesse Jackson Jr. left court in disgrace, breaking months of silence.
It's not a proud day. I'm sorry I let everybody down.
The son of an iconic civil rights leader and one-time presidential candidate had been a rising star, even speaking at the 2008 Democratic National Convention. But today, Jackson was in court weeping as a convicted felon. He turned to his father to say, I'm sorry. Jackson admitted to stealing $750,000 in campaign funds for personal gain. Memorabilia from Michael Jackson, Jimi Hendrix, and Bruce Lee. Furs, home furnishings, a Rolex watch worth $43,000.
Jackson now faces more than 4 years in prison as part of his guilty plea and likely will serve time.
Not a future Jackson or his father ever expected. Pierre Thomas, ABC News, Washington.
We are here this afternoon to discuss an unfortunate situation that we've seen far too often across the political landscape. Today, Jesse Jackson Jr. Pled guilty and accepted responsibility to participating in a 7-year conspiracy to defraud his political supporters of their campaign contributions to the tune of nearly $750,000. Today, Jesse Jackson Jr. pled guilty and confessed to a variety of schemes, some of them simple, some of them sophisticated. But all of them had the same common purpose. All of them were designed to further finance his exorbitant lifestyle. The guilty plea today is so tragic because it represents such wasted potential. Jesse Jackson Jr. had the drive, the ability, and the talent to be the voice of a new generation. But he squandered that talent. He exchanged that instead to satisfy his personal whims and his extravagant lifestyle. He did acknowledge responsibility today, and for that he deserves credit. He did not seek to evade responsibility during this process. He did not make excuses. He came in early, he told the truth, and he saved the taxpayers the cost of a trial. But today is his day of reckoning. Jesse Jackson Jr. will face up to 5 years in prison. He will have a guideline range of 46 to 57 months. He will have to pay back the $750,000 that he stole, starting with forfeiting the furs and the guitars and the other celebrity memorabilia that he purchased. Today is his first step toward redemption. Today we also had Jesse Jackson Jr.'s wife, Sandy Jackson, former Chicago alderman, plead guilty as well. She pled guilty to filing false returns. As part of her plea, she acknowledged failing to report $600,000 in income from the years 2005 to 2011. She acknowledged using money from her alderman campaign account as well as another political organization that she controlled for her own personal benefit. She acknowledged receiving other sources of income through her company that were not reported. And she acknowledged spending money from her husband's campaign account on personal items. Sandy Jackson faces up to 3 years in prison. She has a guideline range of 18 to 24 months and will have to pay up to $168,000 in restitution. I want to now walk through the conduct that the individuals pled guilty to today. And if you look first on the right to the exhibit, you'll see there's a diagram, and it explains this scheme. For 7 years, Jesse Jackson Jr. and his wife undertook a variety of different methods to funnel money out of his reelection campaign. Most directly, the Jacksons used their campaign credit cards to run up over $580,000 in personal expenses. They bought everything from flat screen TVs to fur coats to to a fedora worn by Michael Jackson. They went to Disney World. They ate at four-star restaurants and financed their day-to-day living, purchasing things like toilet paper and a refrigerator with campaign funds. Sometimes Jesse Jackson Jr. did not use his campaign credit card and would instead simply spend money directly from his campaign account. Most notably, in 2007, he used campaign money to purchase a $43,000 gold-plated Rolex watch. At other times, Mr. Jackson went to great lengths to disguise his theft of campaign funds. He funneled about $100,000 in campaign money through either his wife's business or through one of his congressional staff members, using some of that money to renovate the $2 million Jackson home in DuPont Circle, Washington, D.C. In all, Jesse Jackson Jr. and his wife converted about $750,000 for personal gain. The nature of this spending makes clear that this was not a momentary lapse of judgment. This was not a short streak of impulsive behavior. Over 7 years, the Jacksons engaged in more than 3,100 transactions for their personal gain. It is clear that Jesse Jackson became convinced that his campaign account could be used to satisfy any personal whim that he had. Mr. Jackson's theft from his congressional campaign, however, was not enough, was not sufficient to satisfy his lavish lifestyle. He also depended upon secret gifts of more than $75,000 from third parties that he often funneled through his congressional staff members or other people. And if you look on our left, you'll see a diagram that explains these transactions. For example, in 2009, he funneled cash gifts through one of his district staff members to buy a guitar that had been used by Michael Jackson and Eddie Van Halen. He also used that staff member and three other people to help pay off personal credit card debts. Keeping this enormous fraud and these cash gifts a secret required Jesse Jackson Jr. to repeatedly lie to the Federal Election Commission and to the U.S. House of Representatives on various disclosure forms. For example, when Mr. Jackson spent $1,500 of campaign funds on a porcelain collector's items from a Chicago museum, he told the FEC that the money was spent to rent out a room for a campaign fundraiser. When he spent $400 of campaign money at the Home Depot to buy supplies for his lawn, he told the FEC that the money was being used to buy equipment for his campaign office. Jesse Jackson Jr. lied many times over many years to hide this fraud from the government and, most importantly, from his constituents. It's important to remember the true victims of the Jacksons' crimes. Those victims are the American people who place their hopes and dreams in them as political officials. Those people listened as Jesse Jackson Jr. eloquently expressed their deepest aspirations. They cheered as he ascended to political office, and they prayed that his public service would somehow provide a brighter path for them. Those contributors were people of modest means, senior citizens,
the present has brought us facing the rising stars. You say, Jesus, let us march on till victory is won. Don't need the road.
participating in stepping into the spirit.
Difficult days ahead.
We're here this afternoon.
But it really doesn't matter with me now, because I've been to the mountaintop. I don't mind.
I've been to the mountaintop. I've been to the mountaintop. Hey, he allowed me to go up, and I've seen the promised land. Ain't nothing like a mountaintop experience, y'all. It puts you in a different place, in a different space. You just don't see things the same way because you look over and you see something different. I'm calling on the black community to get that mountaintop experience. Leadership, get that mountaintop experience. You got to come on, y'all. We got to do what we got to do. We got to do it for the babies. Wherever you are in the country, wherever you are in the world, wherever you are in Chicago, if you're sitting on your bed, driving down the street, drinking your tea, drinking your coffee, or drinking your moonshine, whatever it might be, Mississippi, hey, my group in Pensacola, you West Side brothers over there, get ready, y'all. And maybe I hope Russell Simmons is listening, because what he did to Harriet Tubman is a disgrace. And it's time for him to understand. Take that deep breath, y'all. Take that deep breath. Black, 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 black. One more time, y'all. Black, 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 black. Ooh, Jesus, that feels so good. When I was at the Republican Day parade yesterday, everybody went black, black, black. Oh, it feels so good, because when you know who you are, what you are, can't nobody get nothing on you. To love yourself don't mean you hate somebody else, but you can't love nobody else if you don't love yourself. Black, black, black. Folks tell to me, Dorothy, I be scared to say black. We all always say brown, white, and black, or other than this and other than that. Nobody else does that. It is so good to be black. Thank you, my mama. Thank you, my father. And thank you, God, for making me part of the beginning of the world. Thank you for making me part of being the mother of the earth. Oh, it's so good. Let's talk to Chicago 69 WVON. Our number is 773-591-1690. We are streaming live on www.wvon.com. We're on iHeartRadio. We're on Blog Talk. And Ebony is down in Mississippi this morning, but she says she's listening. Hello, Ebony. We got Vima G. Tillman, the one that y'all see. Y'all like his song, Reparation, his group, House of Twain. He's in the studio this morning sitting in with his mom. I just love to have my little baby son around. And he in there blushing. In there. I got two young black folks. Don't tell me young folks don't do nothing. Got Courtney, the engineer, and got Bimaji on the board. So happy to have that. I'm just so happy to have these young folks sitting in for us, big sister Ebony, who's in Mississippi. Hurry home, baby. Enjoy Mississippi. Ain't nothing like being around that red mud. Don't let it get hard on you, because it will get you. We've been talking this morning about our community, how we getting caught up. We letting all of this stuff, this minutia, we got a whole three communities being taken away from us. Inglewood is wholesale because of the rail. I tell y'all to follow the rails. The railroad, they're taking all of Inglewood. And then you got from Root, it was in You Don't Believe, look in July 31st paper, when they have them announcements in the back. From Root to 6 or something, from the Dan route over to Peoria, something like that. But what they have, they're amending the TIF for the railroad. Now, remember, these folks had something to do with slavery. And by the way, if you're listening, Keisha, call, because I'm supposed to be on her show on reparation. I'm supposed to do a program of reparation with her on Tuesday. I got to get the address. I have to look on my phone and try to get the address. But they had all this to do with slavery. I don't know whether they did their economic interest statement or not. Did they? Did the black alderman check? Are you checking economic interest statement to see whether these folks violating the slavery disclosure law that we passed? That's disclosed whether anybody in your family, anybody ever down the road had anything to do with slavery. And if they didn't disclose that, they can't get no contracts, can't get nothing from black folks. I want to know from them aldermen. Did they look at the economic disclosure? Did they try to see whether these folks had anything to do with slavery? Or did they just say, okay, is the 20th ward and the 3rd ward, where they are giving up all this land to the railroad. That TIF was put in place to help rebuild that community, Wells, Princeton, and Shields. Now it's been put in place for the railroad. I had someone to tell me that they had been parking their cars over there. And all the time on the lot, all of a sudden their cars got towed. And when they tried to figure out why their cars got towed, and they found the railroad had bought up all the city land over there, and now they finna do the other. The 47th and Hoster TIF. That was a TIF I put in place when I was alderman for manufacturing. And that was for black folks to be able to manufacture. The whole ward was planned for black folks, y'all. I want you to know that for the land. 70% black, 30% other. So we're going to try to do some manufacturing. We've been talking to some other black countries and black folks in the city who want to do something. And that was a manufacturing district. That's what that TIF was put in place for. That TIF has been amended now to include and to make sure that they do the railroad. You know, you got the railroad on 47th Street around there that goes when you go on the Vidal. And the TIF went from, you got the house that's TIF. And all over past the railroad, all over to Racine then was the ward. I don't know how far it go now. But that was a manufacturing district, just like on the west end, on the north end of the ward, you have that manufacturing district where they did all that stuff on 47th. Well, we were going to do it on the south end and have manufacturing for black businesses who wanted to expand. Now to get that to the railroad. And then you got Rahm Emanuel now, then to privatize the, he's going to privatize the port. The Port Authority, very important, global economy, right? The port is very important to Chicago. We need to know that. But then you got to look at all the rails right around there. Go down to the cottage and all around the Pullman area. Even over there in Carrollton Ward, you got a lot of rail. All around where the shooting's been and the so-called killings of the rail station and the land. And they finna take it. And all of you people who think y'all so safe over in South Shore, you go in the way of the public housing down on the north end by the lake, they finna take it out. This is some of the stuff we've been talking about. How we sitting by with this minutia while our community's being wiped out. Black children should be getting educated, learning math and science, computer and skipping and laughing and having a good time instead. They got to go to school thinking they got to be safe. Come on, shame on you black folks. And they got those signs up, safe passes, like slavery. Them signs up, Russell Simmons come out with that video disrespecting Harriet Tubman. They'll make no sense. Other communities don't have it. Psychological, it make no sense. I'm going to talk to Shahida Muhammad about this math camp they got going on from the Nation. Look, I got a daughter go to the Nation, still one of those schools. My daughter's 7 years old. One is seven. She's doing fourth and fifth grade work. She can outdo anybody in math, her age group. Math and science is important. Math, science, and learning how to read is important. Very important for our community. So I'm going to take a few minutes to tell you about this camp. Y'all got a math? Y'all, hey, how you doing this morning, Brother Sheeta?
Hey, assalamu alaikum. How you doing?
Well, alaikum salam, and give the minister the greeting for me.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay,
will
tell me. Tell me about this math camp y'all got going on this weekend.
Oh, man, we know that unfortunately our people are doing the worst in mathematics, and we cannot be what we want to be without math. So this Thursday at the Harold Washington Cultural Center, August 22nd, the math doctor will be putting on a math boot camp. We have a math boot camp that will cover middle school, which can be from third grade up to, like, seventh grade.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have an algebra boot camp for, like, eighth, ninth graders, and even some adults can come. And it will be a powerful boot camp where they will get ramped up and ready for the new school year. Those listeners that are not in Chicago, they also can get it now live via webcast, real time.
So you're gonna do a webcast, thing there too at the center, so everybody can see
right.
It on the web.
It'll be like a webinar. So all they have to do is go to www.themathdr.com for doctor, themathdr.com,
mm-hmm.
and click Math Bootcamp, and then the registration information is right there.
Okay, let me ask you this. So you are going to what can they go now to find out about that? What's the number and what's your web?
The website is www.themathdr.com.
So they can find
everything.
They can find out about Thursday.
Right, and then click Math Boot Camp. They'll see the link there.
Okay.
And all the information and registration is right there. That's for those out of Chicago and those in Chicago to walk right in.
So what if you, what is there a phone number for those who don't have internet?
Yes, they can call 630-747-0165.
Repeat that.
630-747-0165.
Okay, I'm going to put this up on my Facebook and everything, too, at the end of the day, so people can know if you miss it, you can get it. We're going to put it up. This math camp is very important. Let me just say that I want everybody to know that your wife is my daughter's teacher.
Yes.
And she does an awesome job. She's the one who I tell you, my daughter's who's 7 years old doing fourth and fifth grade math, and I watch her take those third and fourth grade students, three and four-year-old students, and she got them operating at a level just so high. And one of the things Sister Shahida said was, when you get them young, they can sponge. And I told her that somehow or another, brother, we're going to have to figure out how to get her to go and do some kind of training for these people who have early childhood development. Because what she's doing with those 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7-year-old kids is amazing.
It is amazing. And the world needs to know she's doing an excellent job. Muhammad's Academy of Math, Science, and Engineering.
Yes. And that's why it's very important, y'all. If you got students, young students, you don't like them old.
Start them early.
She start them early. What, she need them between 3 and what age she want them?
She really should start them while they're in the womb. That's what Minister Farrakhan teaches us.
I'll
start them while they're in the womb and as soon as they come out the womb.
But I'm going to have her on one day. But what age group do she start at when she starts taking the kids?
She starts with 2 years old if they're potty trained, 3, 4.
From 2 to what?
2 to about 5.
2 to 5. She'd like to begin there.
Right.
But she will take them 6. So if they want, if they're interested in putting their child in her school, what do they do? Call the same number?
They can call that number or they can call her directly at 708-238-7011.
Okay, repeat that again.
708-238-7011. They want their children to become a walking genius. They need to get them in that school.
Oh, she's awesome. Now, does she have a website? And we got
feedback for some reason.
I don't know. You must have on speakerphone. You got something? I got a feedback, Brother Muhammad.
Yes, ma'am.
Well, I got a feedback.
Oh, you got a kickback. Okay, hold on.
Mm-hmm.
All right, yes, ma'am. Sorry.
Okay. So, you going to put a website together?
Yes.
But we'll
get a website, get some videos of her teaching live.
Mm-hmm. Because we're going to certainly try to get her in these preschools. They're paying out all this money, folks, to do stuff, and I see what she's doing. She got an excellent school. But the boot camp, once again, so I can go back to my other callers, the boot camp is when?
Okay, no problem. Math boot camp is this Thursday, August 22nd. It's from 9 to 12 for the middle school, third grade to, like, 7th. Then it's from 1 to 4 for the Algebra 1. That's for adults and children.
Mm-hmm.
And all they have to do is go to www.themathdr.com. Click Math Boot Camp.
Okay.
Those that's watching, those that are listening out of Chicago can get it live via webcast by going to the same route.
Okay. Thank you so much. And I'm going to have Sister Shahida on. I'm going to have you back also. We're certainly going to
get some
students.
Thank you so much, Sister Queen.
Thank you. And I'll be over. As-salamu alaykum.
All right. Yes, ma'am. As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum as-salam. Thank you. You have to understand, Sister Shahida take those children. It's over with when she gets to them. They're on track to finish school at 15, 16 years old. Younger than that. I mean, they are serious about math and science and reading and stuff. It's amazing. I saw that stuff. It's amazing. I encourage y'all, if you have young students, you're around paying all this daycare money, you need to put them in there. Certainly she interview them and she get them in there, and you don't have to be in the nation to go. Dorothy was Sister Sheet is also part of Muhammad University. If you can't, you don't want to go there, you can go to Muhammad University. You have a problem with your sons and stuff, go put them in Muhammad University. Over there, them brothers deal with them over there on Stony. I saw some kids so bad, they got over to Muhammad University. They geniuses right now. We'll see you at the math camp. Let me go to the phone now. I've been on this holding y'all for a long time. Okay. Maisel.
Yes, good morning, Alderman Tillman.
Good morning.
First of all, I didn't know that was your son. So hello, Benjamin, and and kudos to you and to Corey. Alderman Tillman.
Courtney.
Courtney,
okay.
Sorry. But as you were talking about in terms of the community, I firmly believe that we have to, if we have property, we have to keep it up, we have to pay our taxes, and as Sal says, keep our neighborhoods beautiful, clean, so that these people cannot come in and just wreak havoc on our neighborhood, take over our neighborhoods.
Yeah, what they do is let it go dirty. Sal, if you're listening, I appreciate your ordinance and stuff, but you also need to meet with these state people, IDOT and CDOT and all of them, because IDOT's supposed to clean up around them expressway, cut that grass. They got tax dollars. They're supposed to do it, too. So we got to do our part. They got to do their part. They be able to clean around other communities, do ours the same way, but we also got to do what you said.
And then just also in reference to this, we used to have block clubs, and that would be an efficient thing to reinstate again. And then in closing, today is the Honorable Marcus Messiah Garvey's birthday.
Happy birthday, McGarvey. Hey.
Yes,
okay.
and the red, black, and green was created by him.
Let's tell them what the red, black, and green stand for. Red is for the blood, green is for the land, and black is for the race, right?
That's right, absolutely.
You don't see black folks in the last 5 years been wearing or waving the red, black, and green flag for some reason.
We don't.
It's so interesting. You don't see it, Maceo.
No. I mean, everybody else will fly their flag proudly. They will display it on their cars. They will put it on their houses, on their businesses. Why can't we do that? We should. I ask you, African people, I mean, please, you know, get you a flag, put it on your business, outside your business, put it outside your homes, display it proudly on your cars, especially this day. It was adapted at the 1920, the first international convention in New York City at Madison Square Garden. It was one of the 54 declarations, number 39. This states that this flag is the flag for the race. Mm-hmm. And that
unite all of the black world.
The
whole African race.
Absolutely.
Okay,
absolutely.
Let me ask you this.
Sure.
I want you to go look at this video. Go to somebody's computer and look at this awful video that Russell Simmons put out with Harriet Tubman.
Having sex
and all the other stuff. It's a disgraceful stuff that he's done. So look at it so we can talk about it next week, okay?
Okay, and in closing, homage to my mother. Her birthday is tomorrow, too.
Oh, she tell her she dad. I know you and your sister. She did a wonderful job. Thanks,
yeah, well, thank you. Thank you, Alden. I love you.
And by the way, did you hear all them awards we got on Ain't Misbehaving?
See, awesome. It was an awesome show, and I hope you could bring it back so the people that didn't get an opportunity to see it.
Okay, well, they got nominated for the awards. They don't have the awards. The awards is in October. And all of them, for them to get that many nominations, I tell you, it was one of the best plays that we had at the center, and we're so proud. We're going to try to bring it back.
It was awesome. Outstanding. Every way.
Thank you.
Kudos to Jim Alita.
Thank you so much.
Okay, have a great week.
You too. Kaya, how you doing this morning?
Good morning, Ms. Tillman. How you doing?
I'm wonderful. God is good.
Hey, yes, he is, all the time. So I was listening to you, and I was reminded of a passage of Scripture that says, the devil comes to kill, steal, and to destroy.
That's right.
And that we are, and we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but principalities and high places.
Right.
I was reading the Willie Lynch letter last week, and I never really read it in detail. And I did the other day, and it brought me to tears. I'm only 42, so, you know, still a young man.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that we are still dealing with some of those issues? Because when I look at the strategic plan that was that they did on the black race, the black man and the black woman.
Well, let me say this, Akaya. If you read Advice Among Masters, which sells that he wasn't involved. This deeper than Willie Lynch. It talks about the planters who came together every year and discussed how they handled their slaves. What was put on us, post-traumatic slavery syndrome, Willie Lynch and all the other stuff, yes, we are still suffering from some of it. That's why we don't understand, don't want to know our history, don't want to be black and proud. What was done to black folks, this social engineering, and what they have done to us, it's so terrible that it's still taking place, and yet we are blaming ourselves for the pain that we're suffering because we don't understand our history.
We don't understand. We don't understand. And I think if more people read that, I think they will kind of understand, you know, the strategic plan that was placed on, you know, to break the spirit of the black people in the future. You know, mm-hmm. he said, you know, this would control us for the next 300 years. And I think spiritual healing is what we need. I think the spirit of the black race or the black, you know, race that had been broken.
Well, you know, we've always had spirit. We had God. We sing. We used to sing, jump, do all kinds of things. Right now, there's an onslaught on black people. And our community, they know they're in pain, but they don't know how to describe it and what to do. Because,
you know, but
the people they look to do something about their pain, lead them in the wrong direction. And because our people are going the wrong direction, they're headed off a cliff. As Dr. King said to Belafonte, they're heading to a burning building. They are headed, our people, our communities head off the cliff. The young folks are headed. The people that they look to for direction are not doing what they're supposed to do.
Well, you know, they taught, you know, how to divide. You know, the young against the old, the light against the dark, the weak against the strong, the intelligent against the less intelligent. And I think we are still dealing with that today. I still think it's a
Kyle, spiritual... you know what I want you to do? I want you to get Advice Among Masters reading to call me back.
Okay.
You got to order on Amazon.
All right.
Thank you so much. Right. I appreciate it. It's very important to read Advice Among Masters. Minister Plump?
Yes,
hello, Minister Plump. How you doing?
WVON, we are doing Black Power today.
Black Power, black.
Yes, and happy the Honorable Marcus Moses Garvey birthday today, too.
Okay.
We're going to be in the Universal Alley Jazz Jam today from 2 o'clock to dusk dark.
I'm going to see the Butler because I want to give the Butler strong opening. I'm gonna try to see that today. What time is? Maybe I go to the jazz and then go there. What time is? Where is it at?
It's going to be at 1801 East 71st Street, and that's going to be, known as Black Power Day, which is music and poetry.
Plump, you be doing some 71st and what now?
It's 1801 East.
That's 71st and what?
Right around 71st and East End.
Okay. So you're going to be there from what time to what time?
From 2 o'clock to dusk dark.
Okay. Thank you so much. I'm going to try to come.
Welcome.
Thank you. I think that'll be a good thing to do. I think that's really good. Really good. Sarah, how you doing?
Good morning.
Good morning.
Miss Tim?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I don't know. I moved my phone.
It's me, baby. It's me. Power to the people. Black. Black.
Well, honey, we can't wash that off.
Can't wash it off.
No,
black
no.
Don't crack.
I'm telling you.
Black of the barrel, sweet of the juice.
Yes, Lord.
Be proud of who you are. You can't love nobody if you don't love yourself. And we made everybody. All life came from us, so why don't we love ourselves?
Oh, I be telling my children and grandchildren, love yourself, please.
That's right.
You know, just hold your head up.
If you love yourself, you're going to do something. Look, if my mama had cut our head down, she'd have knocked my head off. We walk proud. She said, you got 50 cent or 50,000. Nobody's supposed to know it. Walk with pride.
My mama said, hold that head up. You better hold your head. What's your head doing down?
That's right.
Hold it up.
And
but I try to esteem that in my children, grandchildren.
But you know, Sarah, why they did that to us? Because during slavery, on through Jim Crow, when white folks came around us, they tell us to drop our head.
Oh, yes.
And then if a black man was on the same side of the street, that's not long ago, 50 years, on the same side as a white woman, she came, drop your head and move to the other side.
That's
so
right.
So they made us drop our heads and be a subservient. Don't look at me. That's why our parents said, look at me when you talk to us. We couldn't look at shifty eyes, hold our head down. And those are the things we have not taught our children. They're going back to it without even realizing.
Right. We were taught all that, and we have that right today. And that's why we're teaching our children and grandchildren, although mine's grown, but I'm trying to teach the grandchildren.
Right.
And I'm going to say this here. Do you know down in the state of Mississippi, where I was born,
yeah,
that little town we had, we couldn't, the black people couldn't wear pants to town. You believe that?
Yeah, the women could wear pants to town.
The sheriff would tell us, go home and pull them off.
Go take them off.
And I tell people that today, they say, oh, no.
They don't understand. Couldn't go to school. Look, Sarah, the kids couldn't go to school but so many hours. And it was almost fearful when they walked to school, something was going to happen to them. They had to walk. We back to that time with the safe passage mess.
Yes, yes. that still exists, because I want to ask you this here. Okay, now, on the news the other day, they said it's going to be mandatory that Section 8 people be tested for drugs.
Well, my thing is this. If the Section 8 down there got to be tested, them other folks who are paying market rate for rent, are they going to be tested? They might be the one bringing the drugs in.
Well, they said on the news the other day, but I want to ask you, okay, the people that was in Section 8 and moved out to private housing, like, say, for instance, my daughter or somewhere, if she ever lived in Section 8 and she was able to get out in the suburbs, okay, will all those people be tested?
I will find out for you, but I know to move back in Poverdale, and one of the things with them transformations that to come back, you got to be tested. If you owe $5 for light bill, you can't come back.
Right,
if your son
right.
went to jail, you can't come back. They had all kind of, they put in, these are really Jim Crow laws. See, black folks don't know these are some, we're the only race of people in this country that this government made special laws to keep down, to oppress. We couldn't go to school, can't drink from the water fountain,
right.
couldn't get jobs, can't do this. So they're still writing special laws for black people, and black folks don't understand because they don't know their history.
It still exists, but just in a little smoother way.
Right.
That thing. But I'm going to say this and let you go, because you know it was old saying said, if you're brown, stick around.
Yeah, if you're black, get back.
Mellow, yellow. You're all right.
If you're yellow, you're mellow.
Uh-huh.
And if you're brown, you stick around. Thank you, Sarah.
Okay, sweetheart.
Thank you so much. I'm going to play this, y'all, so y'all can understand. See, y'all understand history, walking a mile in our shoes, then you'll deal with this stuff a little different. You know, we're going to get Mark walking a mile in my shoes by Otis Clay. But, you know, you got to understand your history, and then you won't take this mess from folks. Folks don't respect you when you allow them to step on you. Dr. King said, a man can't ride your back if it's not a bitch. Otis Clay, y'all, walk a mile in my shoes. This is for the black community. And anybody want to talk about them, all you who came over here because of our fight and use our fight to get ahead, but you don't want to walk a mile in our shoes. You just want to take what we got. Come on, Otis, sing for them, baby. Otis Clay, y'all.
I could see you through my eyes.
Otis Clay.
Instead of your ego, then you would be surprised to see that you've been blind. Walk a mile in my shoes. Walk a mile in my shoes. Criticize and accuse. Walk a mile in my shoes. Now your whole world you see around you is just a reflection.
Sing on it. Walk about my shoes when you talk about them.
And the law of the common.
Yeah, that's, hey.
That you gonna reap.
Gonna reap what you sow. Black
just
folks don't sell us out.
Sold. So unless
sing on it.
You've lived a life of total perfection.
Yeah, because of our fight.
Then you better be careful of every stone that you should throw. Throwing stones at one another every day.
Every day.
Just because I don't think I'll wear my hair the same way you do.
Work together.
And when you strike out and try to hurt me, it's hurting you. Just walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes, y'all. Because of the suffering and the abuse that we took and all the things we went on with, a lot of folks are enjoying those things, and black folks are not enjoying them. We got to fight, y'all. We have to stand up. I'm calling on all of the sororities and fraternities. You need to take a moment and look at your charter and look at the relevancy. We're losing our children in education and math and science and reading. Do we supposed to save our little children? You know, when you look at all the things that black people did to help jobs and education, we all got to take an internal look at ourselves and see what to do to save our community. We have got to do that, y'all. Hello, Ed from Pittsburgh.
How you doing, sister?
I'm fine, my brother.
I'm doing okay. Listen, you had a first of all, I appreciate the program. I appreciate listening to the folks in Chicago talk.
Thank you.
But I got to come to them with an issue and a challenge. Brother Muhammad, you had on earlier?
Mm-hmm.
I know the brother personally.
Mm-hmm.
I've used his tape, and I challenge anyone in the community in Chicago listening
mm-hmm.
to try that brother on for 30 days. I guarantee you, your children will do better. The brother is unbelievable. I've got, and he, if they get the tape and he breaks down math, I'm comfortable with math, so I really enjoyed it. But more importantly than that, I challenge the folks who are listening
mm-hmm.
to give that brother 30 days with your child or 60 days or his wife.
Yeah.
I guarantee you your children will be better off. They will do better in math, and math is the foundation for success. And you know,
well, you know, Ed, I have a grandchild that's
mm-hmm.
in the school,
mm-hmm.
and she's like 7 and doing 4th and 5th grade math. She's unbelievable.
And you know what, sister, not to cut you up, I apologize
right.
for that. It is so critical. Education. I hear you talk about the babies regularly.
Mm-hmm.
What's going on with our children? Chicago's school system is failing miserably.
Across the country, the school system is failing for black people.
It's failing here in Pittsburgh.
Right.
So why don't we support people who look like us who's trying to make a difference?
Well,
we keep going to a man that don't want to help us and bang our head against that wall instead of here's a brother.
Well, you know what the problem is, Ed? A lot of parents don't have the money
mm-hmm.
to be able to do it. We got to figure out. I was telling them earlier. They
mm-hmm.
criticize UNO. They got
mm-hmm.
$98 million from the state
mm-hmm.
and $12 million over their math and science academy, our tax dollar. And we have our people. They won't fight and force them people to take our tax dollars to open them kind of free schools for our children.
And I like what you said, sister, that you do not have to be of the nation to tap into the source with this brother.
You don't.
I can't tell people how strong that is. You don't have to be in the Nation of Islam to tap into what that brother is doing, him and his wife. Please,
right.
brothers and sisters, let's get with the math doctor. He's a ticket to success in math.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Now, that's a testimony, y'all. We got to figure out how we're going to really – I can testify. I'm trying to figure out how to get my other two little grandkids in there. My two youngest grandkids who are young enough to go in there now, I just got to figure out how can we afford to put them in there? Because they are really, really, really good. I'm going to figure it out. I'm dancing with their daddy right now, trying to say, can I put them over there? We doing a dance. But I'm going to see what I can do. Ken, how you doing?
I'm doing well, Alderman. Thank you for taking my call.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, you know, I wanted to ask, you had made mention of how they're trying to take over the Port Authority.
The mayor is privatizing in the black community, or even have enough sense to raise questions. And it's around all that whole black community around the Pullman area out there in the railroad
yeah.
tracks. And
yeah.
also this global thing of when you look at what's going on in Asia, because I watch the Chinese station and all that. When you look at the global economy, there's a reason why he's doing it. He's not doing it. This is a plan. It's an economic plan black folks will understand.
Well, see, it's my understanding that given maybe the next 2 years, 2014 to 15, a lot of goods that come through the port authorities, whether it's Port of New Orleans, Port of Illinois, Indiana, whatever port it is.
Right.
Once the Panama Canal expands its operation, a lot of goods are going to be flowing in.
If right.
You notice, right over there at 95th Street, where 95th runs.
It's 100 and something when you go around the Bishop Ford Expressway.
Exactly.
It's about 109th, 100 and something.
Something like that. Yeah, it is, because you do see it.
Yeah.
If you go right there on 95th, right there where you make that right turn going toward Indiana,
right,
runs into Calumet Park, you'll
right.
notice a lot of trucks are coming out of there. That's
right.
part of that Port Authority.
Right.
Those guys are grabbing goods and going with it, okay? Those are jobs.
That's why they got that fire department. Well, the thing is, when Harold was there, Harold put a lot of black folks on the port. See, on the Port Authority, and they appoint folks to the Port Authority. The problem I'm having here, Ken, is that those who're supposed to lead and direct black people to let to get them information, our people, not that our people are dumb, the people they look to for information and direction is not telling them the truth.
That's what I'm saying. For as many years as I've been driving back and forth when I was taking my son to the university in Carolina,
yeah.
I would take that route and I'd pass that Port Authority, you know, leaving out. And I realized, I'm like, wait a minute, how many people know about this?
Mm-hmm.
How many of them understand that there's a lot of work there?
Oh, yeah.
There's
well,
a lot
you know,
of stuff that's
and Chicago would have been a premier port. We got to have economics. Something got to happen here. Our people, something. Thank you, Ken. We're going to talk about this some more next week because I'm going to get some more information.
Right.
In fact, I'm going to get some of the hosts. I'm going to get Mark and try to get Matt and a few more people, take them on a ride and show them some stuff in this city so they can get a feel for, because I know Mark be really trying to talk about what's going on. I'm going to get some folks. We're going to tour to look at this city. We got to see what's going on. Thanks, Ken. I'm challenging some of the talk shows to come go with me so we can see what's going on. Dr. J. JT.
Hey, all right, I want to add 5 points.
Oh, that's Jimmy Tillman. That's the children's father. You ain't going to
yeah.
take long, are you? If I know with you, I know you're going to take forever. Tell me what you got to say, baby.
I'm not going to take forever. I got there's 5 major points. Of the
press, 5 points?
The press, the news, and the TV and radio is a propaganda tool that's used by the mayor. You don't hear about those things you just mentioned, Dorothy, because they don't stress those things. They stress the violence. And
uh-huh.
you know, and the bad schools. They stress all the things that are negative and all of everybody that's the minutia that you was talking about earlier.
Right.
Okay, that's
by
that's
the way, Dr. Tillman, Dr. Jimmy Tillman is an educator and also a great artist, and he understands music and everything. Go on, Jimmy.
Yeah. That's just to spread misinformation into the community. Get everybody talking about something that's really not the real issue.
Right.
The real issue, there's no economic, no money in the community at all. And that's by design. Now let's talk about the schools right quick.
You ain't
the
got
public
a few
schools,
more minutes now. Hurry up.
I'm running. The public schools is been set up to fail started back in 1985. They brought in these charter schools. It's just a sham.
It really started before then, Jimmy. And let's talk about it again next week because I want to go. It started before 85. It started way
okay.
back when I was
violence.
Going. It started.
The violence part. The way they started talking about the violence, that's just a way of singling out the little black youth to get them ready for the prison system.
Mm-hmm.
And that's another part of that propaganda.
Mm-hmm.
Like you said, that's crime going on all over the city, but they
right.
don't talk about the black crime.
Right.
Now, when we're caught up in a Holocaust. Nobody want to call it what it is, but the same thing.
I don't use the word Holocaust, but that's a whole other thing. Jimmy,
the same thing happened to the Jews. The same
no,
thing
no, I, what happened to Jews? What happened to Jews? Did not have black folks. Stuff is different. But let's talk about it. Let's talk about
okay.
it. If that was the truth, we'll come back just like they've done. They came back and they run in the world. They said never no more. What was happening to the black folks in this country have never happened to nobody else. No other race have experienced what happened to
not
black
in,
American
not,
and also what happened to the Africans.
Not in no other country but this country.
Okay, let's talk later. No, what happened with the Jews? We cannot compare that because what happens to, but what happened to Africa in terms of how they raped it and what they're still doing and what they've done to the descendants of enslaved Africans in America. Nobody have gone through that. And even if the Jewish community had gone through what we went through, they wouldn't be controlling the world right now. But they said never no more. They got a country that they built. They are in charge of the music industry. They're in charge of the media and all. And they have a community that they work on. And they have a book. The Jewish community got a book. That whatever you're in, I can't remember the name of the book, I tried to get it for you. Whatever your profession is, you got to give back and put in that book to help build community. That's why Ron Emanuel told some of the business folks when he met with them that he didn't understand how they sit around blaming him when they've been in the community all these years and then go back and try to build a community. Because other folks don't understand how black folks can have and run away from their own, because the Jewish community don't run away from their own. The Jewish community to build. So I don't like nobody trying to compare us to them. Because well, we still got a long way to go. Robert, how you doing?
Hello, Ms. Tillman.
Hi.
Hello, good morning.
Good morning, babe.
Okay, I told you last week about that if a Chinese train come out of San Diego up through San Antonio up here, and so they got a whole port in Charleston, South Carolina called Costco.
These
are big old ugly gray containers, and the train is a gray, off color, yellow.
Turn your radio down. Tell somebody to turn your radio down.
And it's go. It comes up here.
Robert, tell somebody to turn your radio down.
Oh, okay. I got too far. But anyway, if it comes up here from out west, and if these guys are in the truck and they'll see this train, it's a big old gray train with all.
I know you're not lying because I watch the Chinese station all the time, and I know what Asia is doing right now. Asia's been over there. Asia's been over there taking over the ports and taking over what they're doing. They also doing exercise and stuff with Russia and all that.
Right.
America just started jumping over to Asia.
But when they open that port up on the south side here, they have direct contact through the Great Lakes and all the cities and on the Great Lakes and bring their goods in here.
Okay.
That's right. Watch them big old boats coming through that.
Okay, Robert, keep watching and call me back because we sure need to talk about that some more.
Okay, well, next time you go on the outside, look for a big old gray train.
Okay.
It's a big old Mach 9, big diesel engine.
Thank you so much. AJ, help me out because I'm running out of time. She gave me my time here. AJ?
Yes, hi. I just wanted to mention that since this Russell Simmons guy, you can see where he becomes so relaxed in being able to say something like that. That gives a wake-up call to a lot of our big shots that got all of this money that we need them to come back into our community, especially this guy. He can be the head of it or somewhere in there, and we will start a Harriet Tubman life skill training.
Yeah, that's a shame. He got Harriet Tubman in the bed having sex openly with this white man.
Well, guess what?
You didn't look at it. When you said you're going to get offended.
I'll get you angry about something like that. So I said the best way for me to do is make this suggestion. There's a lot of different neighborhoods that got a lot of different locations.
Well, first of all, black folks got to let this man know they don't like it. And there's a difference between him doing this and Oprah doing the butler. Two different things.
Yeah.
Russell Simmons,
Russell Simmons
did, when we was doing the reparation movement, he came out with reparation gym shoes. I don't know how much he gave back. Didn't he marry a Chinese or something? You know, and he said he would not allow his children to walk around looking the way he got our children looking. So somebody let Russell, I'm going to send Russell Simmons a letter and I'm going to give him a call. I'm pissed. Thank you. We got to do something about that. I'm really pissed. Kadia. Hello?
Hello?
Yes, Kadia.
Hi, this is Katie. How are
Katie,
you?
Katie, okay, I'm sorry.
So that's okay. I'm just happy to get on. I don't know how Russell Simmons let that happen. To who did he let do that? And,
let that happen? He produced it.
Real, and what? He produced
it. It's on his web. He did that. He thinks it's a joke. Harriet Tubman sex with this white man back and forth. You can see him, and then the other man in the closet. And we're going to tape him out. He made a joke out of this stuff, the Underground Railroad.
All right. Well, I'm going to try to contact him, too.
Go look at it. We all
Facebook.
Need to flood him.
They took it off.
It's still on Courtney. How did they get it? Courtney going
to
tell me. You keep listening, I tell you. What is it on the Courtney?
And also, I want to say that I went to Springfield. I took my granddaughter to Springfield for the Lincoln Museum and the Illinois State Fair. Springfield is devoid of black. Downtown, no blacks. I said, where are the black people?
You know what? You know
the
what?
The black driver told me that they all live on the east side and they are all dependent on welfare and that.
But guess what, Kadia? You go downtown Chicago, there ain't a lot of blacks down there neither.
Right.
Okay,
I gotta go now
because I'm running out of time. What you need to do is Google Harriet Tubman sex tape.
Okay.
Sex tape. What part of you? Right. What is that? P-A-R-I-D-Y, Harriet Tubman sex tape. That's what y'all can look at. And we need to kick Russell Simmons' butt. I'm coming for him. I got to go. You got 20 seconds? Because I want at least play. Hey, nobody worried. Just 2 minutes of it. Can I get 2 minutes of it in the hello? Everybody gone. Okay. Ain't nobody worried. Maurice, you have to call me back next week because I'm not ready for what you want to talk about. Okay. Ain't nobody worried. Anthony Hamilton, we're going to bring him to Harold Washington. Ain't nobody worried? Hey, yeah, we got to worry. Google Harriet Tubman sex tape. P-A-R-I. Parody? I thought I couldn't see it. The sun was in the way. And when they put safe passage all the way through the community. When they start taking four communities at one time, they're taking four communities. Nobody saying nothing.
The homeless have nowhere to turn.
Y'all, we got to do something here. I got some more stuff I'm going to talk about next week. All this minutia got to go.
Then our babies turned to cry. Started getting tired, cause the job.
I don't know what this, okay.
Cause ain't nobody worried.
Ain't nobody worried.
No more, no more.
Come on, Anthony Hamilton. Come on, young man.
When the tears start to fall and you can't see your way, just will carry on.
So please call back up and give me that phone number for the map tab. We can't sell them out, y'all. These are our babies, our future. Education, protection.
Trying to beat the drought.
Hey!
Woo!
Oh, Jesus.
Ain't nobody worried.
Ain't no trouble. These are our babies, y'all. Education, we got to put our arms. We can't depend on nobody else. Faith Fast, Underground Railroad. Those of us who worry, we gotta put it together. It's our babies. They should be skipping school and being happy.
When the shots fly high and the sirens start to
come on, black men. Black men, black women. Come on, y'all. Let's stand up. It's our children. We don't need no passes. It's our community. Go in when black folks decide they're going to make it in. Education is the key. Fearlessness. A scared person can't fight. Don't fight if you're scared because you get somebody hurt. If you're right, understanding God will go with us. Dr. King always said, if you be right and you make the move, you tell me God won't do it. Go. We have to make the motion and God will second that motion. But can't nobody do nothing if you don't stand up. Folks, if you can't do no movement by yourself, then no black, it is a black movement. You have to see, folks are scared to say that. If black folks will stand up and fight for what they believe in, other folks will join you. But no, you want to put everybody around you. This all of us. No, it's us. This is what's happening to us. Come and help us. When you see these other folks fight, it's them, and you go help them. Don't be afraid. I want to thank you so much. This has been a wonderful time. I had my son, Bimaji, here with me. This is his group that's singing reparations now. It's always good to have the boy with me. You know that. Blog Talk is all put it back on. That's Bimaji calling. This is a really great time to have had him. We'll be back next week, 6 to 8. We try to be here to give you some. Come on, black leaders. I know y'all listen to me. Elected officials, don't sell out the community. Because if the community's gone, you're not there. Churches, if the community's gone, white folks don't have much churches in their community. You're going to have to close your doors. Hey, y'all. See you next week. I love you. I love black folks. I love all people, but I love black folks, too. First, can't love nobody without loving yourself. Reparations now.
Fire another white man, Mr. President. I'm here to represent for mine.
Topping our political ticker right now, this is just coming into the Situation Room. A dramatic statement from Congressman Jesse Jackson Jr. repudiating his father's crude remarks about Senator Barack Obama, remarks caught on an open microphone. In a statement, Congressman Jackson says, I'm deeply outraged and disappointed in Reverend Jackson's reckless statements about Senator Barack Obama, his divisive and demeaning comments about the presumptive Democratic nominee, and I believe the next president of the United States contradict his inspiring and courageous career. He then goes on to say this, Reverend Jackson is my dad and I'll always love him. He should know how hard that I've worked for the last year and a half as a national co-chair of Barack Obama's presidential campaign. So I thoroughly reject and repudiate his ugly rhetoric. He should keep hope alive in any personal attacks and insults to himself. An extraordinary. an extraordinary state. Jesse.
You're looking at the most hated man in U.S. politics. A man who stole almost $1 million from his campaign and blew it on, well, really cool stuff. Jesse Jackson Jr. And this
a dramatic turn in the wheel of fortune for former Congressman Jesse Jackson Jr., pleading guilty to lavish abuse of campaign money and offering a tearful apology to his famous father. Here's ABC Senior Justice Correspondent Pierre Thomas.
Today, Congressman Jesse